listening to the Three Count Podcast, the epitome of sports entertainer podcasts.
Oh, you're getting better, Dylan.
I'm getting better, thank you. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. With me, as always, is Jungle Man, Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome into the show.
It's not that bushy. Come on, mate. The beard's getting there, though. How are you, brother?
I'm going good, mate. I'm going good. Enjoyed a very good pay-per-view from AEW. You know, they outperformed Dynamite and Rampage each week. Maybe not one of the best ever, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, for those only listening, my head sort of gave a little bit of a, I just didn't make a sound. Yeah. So
he didn't seem to agree with me, and maybe we'll have some disagreements as we go through the show.
I feel like we will.
But look, we're going to take a look at Revolution. We're going to go through the card, give our ratings. We're also going to check out what's making headlines and the dirt sheets. As always, we'll have a three-count draft for you this week. And after a great Iron Man match, we're going to draft the best ever Iron Man matches.
Mm-hmm. Only three, though.
Only three. We're only going to go six deep all up.
It gets a bit murky otherwise. It's just all the same stuff. So
that it does. Now, follow us on at Three Count Pod on Twitter and Facebook, at Three Count Podcast on Instagram. Let's check out when new eps drop or sound off in our drafts. It's been quite a few sound offs recently, which is good. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube or the follow button on Spotify or Apple. Be greatly appreciated. But let's get to the news. Where do we start here? Let's get
TK's announcement about the title. That was the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah, we'll go through the AEW news first. So Tony Khan has announced there will no longer be the All-Atlantic Championship. It will be the International Championship.
Now, is it just me or is that too close to the Intercontinental Championship?
It's very close.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
And it seems like he made it sound like it was a decision by Warner Brothers. One of us Discovery. Yeah. So interesting.
He tied it in with the Shazam premiere as well. So that was a nice little bit of, publicity there for that.
Bit of crossover there. Yeah. They've got their sights set wider than just the Atlantic. So there you go. The international title. And we now have a set date for AEW All Access premiering, which will premiere on March 29 over in the States. So that will be the 30th over here, I believe. And that will also coincide with Adam Cole, baby's first match back.
Baby.
So exciting stuff there. Absolutely. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about Wardlow and the TNT title a bit later, but he got all his gear and the title belt stolen from his car and then ended up losing the title to Hobbs on Dynamite anyway.
It's very reminiscent of the story of Jericho when he lost the title. Have you heard that one?
That's right.
He lost it out when they stopped it at an IHOP or something like that. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, very interesting. Not a great couple of hours for Wardlow there. Now, another thing we'll touch on later, FTR returned at Revolution, though they have still not signed a contract extension, so their contracts are still up in April.
That's good, though. Because if they ball out now, they'll get more money. And then if they're not happy with it, then they can just move on. So I think they're in the box seat.
Do you think? So TK gave him a call, said, come on in. We're going to give you a run. Do you think if he knows that they're maybe leaving,
he puts the titles on them?
He gives them a big run at the end. That might jack up their price a little bit.
Well, I think he's costing himself. I think TK's in a lose-lose.
Yeah.
Because if he does, the only other way is he could bury them, but then they're definitely going to leave. You push them, then they're going to be worth more money because they're going to be drawing more. So TK's in a loss, and FTR going to get more money, or they're just going to move on.
So, well, Dax basically said it on his podcast. He's like, we've got two options. We go to WWE, we get a lot of money, but the schedule's not great. We stay with AEW, we love it here, we've got a great schedule. We just got to decide what we want more.
Funnily enough, you mentioned Dax. I was watching Breaking Ground on 144 on the wrestling channel. And he's in the background. Like, you can see him in the Breaking Ground back in the NXT days. So that's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. Just a
little segue there. Sorry.
Goes way back.
It does.
So FTR still going to be done in April. Will be interesting to see what happens there. Now, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships, Mark Briscoe obviously has one of the titles. His brother Jay, who passed away. They are the tag team champions. But we will have new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions crowned at Supercard of Honor in a Reach for the Sky ladder match. Mark Briscoe's announced that, you know, it seems to be like they've consulted with him in this decision. They've announced the first team to enter, which is going to be the Lucha Bros. I think pencil them in for the titles. Yeah.
Well, unless if Briscoe finds a partner, that could be the, you know, the key.
Could be. Very interesting. All right, we'll move on to some WWE news. Now, Finn Balor has hinted that there's going to be a new member of the Judgment Day after WrestleMania. Any ideas?
Well, it's got to be someone coming up from NXT, you'd think, wouldn't it?
That would be a good fit. I mean, having someone like Jay White or something. I mean, while him and Balor have their, you know,
Bullet Club stuff, I know. But Jay White would have to come in as the leader. If he comes in as the leader, then that works. But They've always said this whole thing about they don't want a leader. They've never wanted a leader. So unless if they bring him in, he costs Edge the match at WrestleMania. And then they're like, we wanted a leader all along. We just wanted a real leader.
Maybe they kick out Priest because, you know, he was kind of the originator and the leader at the start. And now he's, you know, fourth place.
Yeah, pretty good point.
In any case, moving on, Brock Lesnar has reportedly told some people he is finishing up with WWE. Are you excited for Brock's last match with Omos?
I don't think that'll be his last match. I think it'll be against Goldberg, won't it? Be their last match together.
Yeah, we can all look forward to that one. Ronda Rousey has a legit injury. So they wrote her out of the story on SmackDown, and I'm guessing that's why they've gone this way with the tag titles.
Yeah, possibly. But she's been getting a bad run anyway, so, I mean, nobody's really enjoying what she's doing. Yeah. So I guess... it's a win-win for WWE.
Yeah, maybe that's something they can take on post-WrestleMania. Now, a little AEW theme. MJF has reportedly told some WWE talent that is where he is going in 2024. Now, you've got to take every single word that comes out of his mouth with a grain of salt.
Exactly right.
But it's interesting to hear that some talent has heard that.
Yeah, but, I mean, how does he know that? Like, obviously, they'd want him, but anything can happen in a year.
Yeah. Like, I mean, most of this stuff is per Meltzer anyway, so that's another grain of salt there.
Shout out
to Dave Meltzer. We have some more matches set for WrestleMania. Logan Paul and Rollins, Cena and Theory, and Lita Trish and Becky versus Damage Control.
Yeah, pretty much what we expected.
Yeah, which one are you most excited for?
Oh, look, I think Logan and Seth would be a great match. You know, we all know how athletic Logan is, and Seth is just a brilliant person in the ring. So I think that'll work. You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, and then we'll go from there.
Logan, you know, when he had his little promo with Rollins and on Miss TV, I think him adopting that heel persona is going to work.
Yeah. He was just like, shut up, and all. Like, he was just giving it to the crowd. Yeah.
Like, the thing is, he doesn't need to try too hard because everyone kind of already hates him anyway. So as long as he doesn't like force heal it, then it's good.
Yeah, it'll go too far.
And poor old Theory, Cena just absolutely ripped him a new one on his promo.
How good was that promo?
Wow.
Just unloaded, like nobody believes you. You're me. And then he's like, "Oh, you're nothing but like a full grown man in jorts." That was backstage. He turns around to get a photo, and he's not there. And then they come out to the ring. He just unloaded on him.
Yeah, poor Theory. He is just a theory.
He is. It's just a theory. There's no better name in the WWE, he reckons.
Absolutely. So Jey Uso is back with the Bloodline, Benny.
Easy.
Did he swerve you with the Sammy hug?
A little. I'm not going to lie. But I did call that it was going to happen at Elimination Chamber. So, I mean, we always knew it was going to happen. But was this just another? You can't swerve us again and again and again, I guess. So no, it has to be it now.
I feel like this is done, but you know.
And that's setting up, you know, the Usos versus, you know, KO and Sammy at WrestleMania.
I mean, they swerved me hard. He gave him the big hug. And then I could see they were just very slowly inching further and further. I'm like, oh, that's about super kick distance.
It was the pan out, wasn't it? You could just see that, like, he was sort of stepping that way and then he was sort of too far and then it just turns around and super kick form.
And I kept thinking, is it? No, it wasn't. WWE has confirmed King and Queen of the Ring will take place in Saudi Arabia. So that one is locked and loaded.
Goldberg.
Goldberg, yeah, he's a he's a lock for a Saudi. If they put King of the Ring on Goldberg,
you're done. Podcast over, wrestling over. We're done.
I'm done. Johnny Gargano is going to make his return to NXT to take his receipt out on Grayson Waller.
Disappointing.
Did we ever really think HBK was coming back for a Grayson Waller match?
But you had Dragon Lee in the crowd. It was Dragon Lee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yep. They brought him in. Like, just put him in there, you know, as his handpicked person or something like that. Like, so, but...
It's a long build because, you know, Grayson took out Johnny Gargano quite a while ago.
Yeah. Or could he take him out again and then HBK doesn't have a choice? Although HBK did love that whole, you know, they've been back in the Brinks Up truck for a lot better people than you are.
Yeah, every year. They back it up.
That was good.
And Backlash is going to take place from Puerto Rico. Bad Bunny will be hosting. He's back. I wonder if it'll lead to a match.
Yeah, what I've heard around Backlash is they reckon that Seth Rollins is going to be into the championship contender sort of scene there. And it might be a triple threat between Roman, Seth, and Cody. And Cody. So that's an interesting one. It's sort of, you know, dirt sheets. You know, we read, you take what you can with it all. Yeah. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire with some of these things. So you shoot enough shots.
There you go. All right, let's get into the Revolution card, Benny. We kick things off with Chris Jericho against Ricky Starks with a JAS ban from ringside. It was a bit of a back and forth affair, and despite Sammy interfering so Jericho could hit Starks with a bat, Ricky ended up countering a Judas effect into the Rochambeau for the win. What did you think?
It was all right. I think the standouts was the Y2J chants because I know he hates them, so they were giving it to Jericho. The other thing that I just heard in commentary, he hadn't lost three in a row matches in 6 years.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It was an okay match. Like, we always knew that somebody from the JAS was going to get involved. But I just thought that block on the Judas effect, it just didn't really do it for me. If they could have done that the right way, but it just looked really telegraphed and stuff like that, which it was. We get that, but it just looked, it didn't go down well. And I'm sorry, Jericho, if you're listening, I'm sorry, mate. Come at me on Twitter or whatever else. It's all good. But I gave it a 1.5 count all over.
Yeah, mate, I'm the same. 1.5 count. Like, they like to try and kick things off with a banger with AEW, you know, pay-per-views and Dynamite, and it just wasn't that for me.
It wasn't that.
Like, it was a solid match. It did its job. It won't be remembered.
No, it's just meaty, like middle of the road. Like, 1.5, just right down
the road. So, yeah, 1.5 for me. JAS, they're going for the Trios titles next week. But Starks was attacked by Juice Robinson on Dynamite, so that could lead to some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, that'll be all right. Starks is, you know, that'll definitely elevate him a bit more, you know what I mean? I know he had his shot, but he was never going to win that shot because they had bigger plans. So, you know, you put him in, see, get the feel, and now let him build up again and see how he goes.
Is it bad to say I was kind of disappointed it was Juice Robinson? Because they put the Bullet Club stuff everywhere. And then I was thinking, okay, it's Jay White now. But no, not to be.
No luck.
No luck. We move on to the final burial match. Christian Cage, Jungle Boy. You know, maybe not a wrestling classic, but plenty of spite and animosity in this one. Both men, they made their way up to the casket. Christian went for a concerto. Yeah, Jack Perry defended himself with a shovel. Then he locked in the snare trap using the shovel. Then he hit his own concerto and rolled Christian into the casket for the win.
Now, I did call this on the pre-show. I said, why isn't it a burial match? And then it got changed like the very next day. So
yeah,
thought that was good. One of the better things was Cage when he was walking up the ramp and then realized where he was going. And like completely shit himself and turned around and started running away from the. I thought that was pretty cool. Just Cage giving it to Jungle Boy's family as well.
Yeah.
And then when he whipped him with the belt, that was just, that was pretty brutal. I gave it a 1.5 count for me overall.
Yeah.
It was fun, but I thought it could have been a lot more brutal.
Yeah, I gave it a 1.5 too. I thought, you know, it wasn't a wrestling classic, obviously. You know, it was probably a one match. Extra half for, you know, the story and closing the chapter and whatnot. So what's next for Jungle Boy?
I don't know. He's not going to go TNT title.
No.
I don't know.
Who
else is out there?
He wants the title. MJF threw some shade at him at the press conference.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy kind of feels like he'd be a good challenger, not at a pay-per-view for MJF.
Yeah.
Like someone who, you know, MJF's going to beat in the end, but at least he's, you know, getting into that main event scene.
He has to get up there around there somewhere. International title, does he take that?
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, in the press conference, MJF was saying these pillars, you know, Sammy and Jungle Boy, like, they're not pillars at all. Like, I'm holding the whole thing up by myself.
Yeah,
right. You know, what have those guys done, basically? Wow. As for Christian, you think he's done with AEW?
He'll be out for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done. He'll be out for a while.
Do we see him back in WWE?
No.
No.
Is his contract? I don't know what his contract situation is, but...
I'm not sure either.
I don't think so. I think he'll be out for at least 3 months or so, and then they'll just bring him back out of nowhere somewhere. But it can't be anywhere around Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
That's done. That's dead and buried, as they would say.
As they would say. Maybe Jungle Boy turns heel in a year and Christian comes back. AEW World Trios Championship, the Elite House of Black. This was the banger we were looking for. All these men are so good. It lived up to the hype, I think. Yeah. After getting hit with the BTE trigger, the pin on Black was broken up. Then Matthews countered a Meltzer driver into the Dante's Inferno on Max Jackson for the House of Black to win the Trios titles.
What'd you give it?
I gave it a 2.5 count. Action aplenty. All of these guys are top notch. I thought it was going to be hard to live up to the expectations. I thought it did. And yeah, 2.5 for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, I only gave it a 2 count, but I thought the House of Black's entrance was absolutely amazing. Like, that was, you know, theatrics at its best. There was some really good moves. I think Buddy looked really strong in that match as well.
He did.
They really made, if anything, Malakai took a step back in that match. You know, he was still there. He still dictated and he still did what he needed to do. And, you know, Hangman sort of carried it for the other boys. But I think Buddy looked really good. But overall, I gave it a 2 count.
Two count. There you go. Now, actually, Jericho mentioned it on Dynamite, you know, bring out House of Black with your best entrance in the game. And that's what happened. Jericho, the Appreciation Society, called them out. So House of Black defending their titles against the Elite and JAS on next week's Dynamite. But also, according to a social post, Kenny Omega and Don Callis have their eyes kind of set back on the singles division.
It did look like that in that. It was a cryptic post, wasn't it? But
yeah, it was
sort of,
a little.
That's what it sort of looked like it was going to be.
Which is fair enough. They had their run. Let's be done with it after this. And we move on to the AEW Women's World Championship 3-way match. Jamie Hayter, Saraya, and Ruby Soho. Decent outing. Saraya slowly working off the ring rust. But Ruby and Hayter, they carried it. Ruby hit the Destination Unknown on Saraya. Hayter broke up the pin and then rolled Ruby up for the win. But the big story was after the match where Ruby joined forces with Saraya and Storm to beat down Baker and Hayter.
Yeah, Ruby heel turn was just weird for me. Like, I get she lost, so that's why she wants to take it out on her. I thought it was a weird match, to be honest. It felt quick.
Yeah.
Like it just, like, were they short of time? I don't know. It probably went longer than I thought. It just felt like it was really fast for me. I didn't really enjoy it, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I only gave it a 1 count.
Wow. I gave it a 2, surprisingly. Wow.
I said we'd have a bit of a difference in there.
We did. I gave it 1.5 for the match. I thought the match did what it was supposed to do, and a half for the heel turn, because I really didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was there, but I just didn't think they were going to go that way. Yeah. But then Ruby's promo on Dynamite was really good.
Yeah, that's what signified it.
And kind of went back to when she faced Statlander and the crowd kind of turned on her, and even though she was supposed to be a face. And, you know, I think they're working the right way with this, like, homegrown versus outsiders rivalry. Yeah, especially, yeah. Stat looks like she's coming back soon too. So maybe they make something, you know, NWO-ish
Ooh.
Out of this thing.
WWO, the Women's World Order.
Maybe. Homegrown. They'll keep it as homegrown.
The HWO. Who?
The HWO.
Spelt wrong.
We then move on to the Texas Death Match. John Moxley, Hangman Adam Page. Try to explain all the brutality in them this match would be pretty hard to do. Now
it was forking crazy, as your sign says.
It was forking crazy. Barbed wire, chairs wrapped in barbed wire, a chain, bricks, and a fork were all used in in this bloody and, dare I say, brutal
that's affair. All I wrote. I didn't even write anything for the match. I just wrote brutal.
Now, this sign behind me, at one point, Mox stabbed Page's forehead with the fork and blood was just flying everywhere.
Yeah. An artery or something.
I was not comfortable watching it. Mox curb stomped Paige onto some bricks. Paige ended up giving Mox a huge lariat, then smashed a brick against Mox's head. Like, because you're going to get up after someone hits you with a brick. He then hits the buckshot lariat, knocks Mox over the top rope, and he's got a chain around his neck, so he's got no choice but to tap out or die, basically.
Yeah, that ending could have gone horribly wrong, especially after they let him go. The chain was still tied in. So when Paige had hold of him, it was all right. As soon as he let it go, it got caught in the ropes, and Mox was sort of hanging there for a second. I was like, oh, this could have been bad.
Yeah.
So, but luckily it was all good. Like, but very brutal match. Very brutal.
Yeah. I get
your fingers between the bricks.
Oh, yes. There was some.
Yeah.
Oh, there was plenty of nasty stuff in there. I gave it a 2.5 count. Now, I wanted to go 3, but look, I prefer my matches entertaining rather than brutal. So it was a 3. It got deducted a half for just the brutality that made me look away a couple of times.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't mind the brutalityness and stuff like that of it. And I guess told a story and they've done what they needed to do and stuff. But it just, I don't think the brutality took it away from me. I just wasn't fully invested. It just was more like I was just watching a train wreck. But like a good one, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
You describe something as a train wreck, you go, oh, that's bad. But this was a good train wreck. It was brutal. It was what they wanted. But even the fans in the crowd were just like, oh. So I only gave it a 2 count overall.
I mean, you know, in hindsight, I think it needed the brutality because, like you said, I wasn't I wasn't invested either. But yeah. Once they started going super hardcore, I was like, okay, I'm just invested to see what they're going to do to each other.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Like, even though he lost, I thought Mox came out looking way stronger.
Yeah, yeah. Hangman just didn't, yeah. He did look like he fit in the match to start with, and then he just didn't look like, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's hard to describe it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, as much as Hangman wants this to be over, Mox and the Blackpool Combat Club, they demolished the Dark Order on Dynamite, and then Hangman as well when he came to their aid, so... I guess this isn't over. Yeah, but like, is it a heel turn? Yeah, kind of.
Well, I guess Mox is a heel. Like, essentially, he's one of those good heels, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
the fact that Claudio has done it as well, that's made it heel.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
We then have the AEW TNT Championship. Samoa Joe, Wardlow, just two meaty men slapping meat. Wardlow gets the win after locking in the grapevine and choking out Joe to become the new TNT champion. I gave it a 1 count, an expected result, and a relatively uninteresting match for me.
Did nothing for me. Gave it a 1 count. Thought the ending was soft. That's all I can really say about that one.
It looks like Joe's...
Obviously, we had what happened on...
That's right, yeah. Powerhouse Hobbs winning the TNT title. I think Joe's going to be going off to Ring of Honor for good. QT Marshall helping Powerhouse Hobbs take out Wardlow was interesting. And we've lost Benny. We'll continue on in any case. We've got the AEW World Tag Team Championship 4-way match. The Guns against the acclaimed Jay Lethal.
Sorry,
and
mate,
Jeff.
I'm here. Yeah.
You here?
Yeah.
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Ben's got great internet down there where he is.
Sorry, guys. I am here. You got me?
We're back. Okay. We're just about to get into the tag team title match.
Soldier through, mate.
Soldier through. The Guns, the Acclaimed, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, Cassidy and Danhausen. Bit of a gimmicky tag team 4-way match. The Guns retain the titles after hitting Danhausen with the 3-10 to Yuma. After the match, FTR, as we mentioned, returned to take out the Guns and hold the titles. What'd you think, Benny?
I thought it was way too erratic. It was weird. It just didn't make sense to me. I hate 4-way tag matches.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a 4-way tag match, then there should be 4 people in the ring. So you can only tag your own tag team in. That's the way I look at it. So it's still like a fatal 4-way, if that makes sense. I only gave it a 1 count. But... obviously, we had what happened afterwards. FTR came out, which we already spoke about, and that pushed it up to 1.5 for me just because it was FTR. Dax got a bit of claret from the little confrontation that he had with them, and that's where I stand with that one.
FTR. It was kind of, I was like, where did that cut come from?
Well, yeah, because he spun around and he just had blood. So
yeah. I gave it a 1.5 as well. I thought it was a fun match, you know, nowhere close to anything like a great match. So did what it needed to do. Look, FTR, they want the guns, so that's kind of a lock. Jeff Jarrett's going to take on Orange Cassidy for the international title next week. What did the Acclaim do here? I mean, it looks like they're building something with Daddy Magic and Cool Hand Ange, which
it's weird.
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah, they've sort of just fallen by the wayside, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think if FTR weren't coming back, eventually the Acclaim would get the titles back, but we will see. Time will tell how TK books this one. All right. It's the big one, the AEW World Championship 60-minute Ironman match, MJF, Bryan Danielson. What a match. For me, it lived up to expectations. Danielson got the first fall about 20 minutes in after hitting MJF with a running knee. MJF then hit Danielson with a low blow, which cost him a DQ fall, but he managed to sneak two falls while the American Dragon was down and out. Mm-hmm. Fight went on. MJF dropped a sick elbow on Danielson through the timekeeper's table.
That was good.
And then he gave him a tombstone on top of the remnants of the table for throwing back in the ring, hitting the heat seeker and getting the pin to go up 3-2. After a flying headbutt from the top rope, Danielson locked in a submission. MJF tapped out to tie it at 3-all. Then MJF hit a tombstone. He loves the tombstone.
That was scary.
Hit a tombstone off the second rope and his knee buckled. Danielson locked him in the single leg crab. And he held on till time ran out.
Yeah.
He taps right after the bell kind of rang.
Zero.
Yeah.
I see what they were trying to do, but it just sort of didn't really work. You know, he should have tapped on zero, not just after, if that makes sense.
The match was announced as a draw. TK made the call from backstage to restart the match. After another single leg crab, MJF got to the ropes. He tapped after he got to the ropes. So Brian thought he'd won, but MJF sneakily used an oxygen tank while the ref wasn't looking, then locked in the label lock. Danielson tapped to give MJF the 4-3 win. What'd you give it, Benny?
Mate, I gave it a 2.5 count. I thought it was good. I guess I was nitpicky. I know it has to be slow to start. It's an Ironman match. We've got to do that. We had a lot of chain wrestling and stuff like that. You know, a nitpicky thing for me, where was the clock? Like, they rectified it after 15 minutes, but I didn't think they were going to do it at all. And it was really playing on my mind for the first 15 minutes of the match.
It was a really slow start to the match. And when the clock came back, I thought, only 15 minutes has gone?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they were going to flash it up and be 30 minutes or something. And that's what sort of made it feel slow for me. It felt like it went for an hour and a half, not an hour. So, but it was still good. And it really ramped up towards the end. Like, it was crazy towards the end. I love MJF taking his water breaks. That was so good. Just rolling out of the ring, pulling out the water, taking a water break. That was fun. Jeez, he wore a crimson mask towards the end, though, didn't he? He was
just
flowing blood.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, we had the old sudden death. And then my big thing is how did the ref not see the oxygen tank? Come on.
Yeah.
Or hear it. I heard it from Australia. It was that bloody loud. So I know I'm nitpicky, but it's still a great match. Great match. 2.5 count for me.
Great match. I gave it a 3. I thought it had absolutely everything you'd want in an Ironman match. It was well done.
You know what almost got it a 3 count was just the one statement when MJF walks up to the cameras because he was taking a break and he goes, is this going to cost me a star, Dave? Maybe I won't get the Bryan Danielson Award. I was like, oh, that's so good. Like, so good.
Great stuff from MJF. It was hard to fault. It was really, really exciting. Now, Danielson cut a promo after the match that was aired on Dynamite, which said he was, you know, he's ashamed of himself for only thinking of himself ahead of his kids and it was time to go home. MJF. MJF, he's...
Go.
MJF's having his rebar mitzvah next week where no doubt his new challenger will emerge.
Yeah, of course.
Who's it going to be?
CM Punk. No, I'm just kidding. Although there are talks that he's around and stuff like that, but...
I mean, I'd love to say Punk, like, so at the presser, which I'm not sure if you've seen bits of it, but basically he made fun of CM Punk the whole time, but like saying that he loved these pickles that they were serving there and that was so good. And like, he just really went high at him.
Hangman wants to talk about going solo again and stuff like that. So that's one thought.
Omega.
Yeah. Not Hangman. Sorry. Yeah. I meant Omega. Sorry. Not Hangman. Yeah.
Omega, yeah, maybe Jungle Boy. Adam Cole, baby. maybe.
Yeah, but he's still a while off. Well, I suppose 3 weeks.
I mean, maybe we get some Takeshita before like the real new threat emerges. Wardlow did talk about him in the press conference as well. Wants to be the first double champ.
Yeah, but lost pretty.
But he doesn't have one anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
It will be interesting. But Wardlow basically said, look, yeah, he's the champ. He's done really great, but, you know, he's beaten all these people. But last time we were in the ring together, I'm off the floor with him. So, you know, take from that what you will.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
So there you go. That is Revolution. Time for our three-count draft. Best Iron Man matches. Benny, you've got the first pick. And after doing research, it's not that much of a gimme, I don't think.
Yeah, well, look, everybody's going to think that we're going to take the same one first, which is the one that, you know, we're both homers for one of the people in the match. And I want to take it, but I'm not going to take it. I'm actually got the top four that I think are all pretty good. So I'm going to take Triple H versus The Rock at Judgment Day in 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I am, yeah.
You mean the one where...
Undertaker comes back as the
one where badass. The one where Triple H won because of the Undertaker.
100%.
All right.
That's what I'm taking.
All right. Your call, my friend. I'm taking Brett v. Shawn. There's
I just wanted you to have it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
I didn't want to pick one where HBK beat Brett.
Okay.
So that's where
that's understandable. You've erased it from your memory.
What happened? Yeah, same as the Montreal Screwjob. All right, my next one, I'm going to go with, it was on SmackDown, Brock versus Kurt in 2003.
Brock v. Kurt, that was right up there for me. Yeah, Lesnar 154, yep. 2003. Yeah, great call. That was actually a 4.25 from Dave Meltzer. I'll have you know. Yeah.
Shout out, Dave.
Dave Meltzer. I'm sure he's an avid listener. all right, Lesnar angle. I am going to take Bayley and Sasha Banks.
That was my next one.
NXT TakeOver, Respect, 2015. Yeah, just...
I feel like I gave that away this week, though, today, when I said to you, can it be 30-minute or 60-minute Iron Man?
Yeah. There's a few 30-minute ones which have been bangers, but, yeah, first NXT women's main event.
Yeah.
Bayley retains 3-2.
Cracking match.
Absolutely.
And those two always put on a good match. I'd love to see Sasha back. Did you see Bayley came out and said that she'd love to see her back home and she thinks she will come back to WWE at one stage?
Really? I did not see that.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. All right, my last pick. There's a couple here I've got. Two of them have got He Who Shall Not Be Named, so I'm going to skip them. I'm going to go with the Bragging Rights 2009 Anything Goes match, Cena and Orton.
All right.
6-5.
Yeah, that was up there for me too.
Yeah.
Very, one of the few Cena matches, which is memorable. That's rude. I shouldn't say that. All right, screw it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take MJF and Bryan Danielson.
Oh, yeah, it's fair. You gave it 3 stars, so you probably should.
Cracker of a match.
Now, I know I'm going to get roasted in the comments about this one, but I don't care. I'm going to stand by my number one pick because it was Triple H, but I didn't want to give it to HBK, so there you go.
Do you want to keep going? You got any more? Or
mate, I've only got a couple more. They're more honourable mentions than anything. I had two Benoit matches, one against Triple H and one against Kurt.
Yeah, that was my next pick, the Benoit angle, ultimate submission match.
Yeah. And then my other one was Kurt and HBK on Raw in 2005.
But yeah.
Two all draw, and then Kurt was like, I'm not going on.
I think that's the only draw.
Yeah, right.
Only one that's ever ended in a draw. I had Charlotte and Sasha Banks at Roadblock. Charlotte won in overtime. The Bar and the Hardy Boys at Great Balls of Fire 2017.
Yeah, after I'd already done my list, I looked back up a few others and I was like, I remember it once I read about it, but I don't remember it to stand out to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This one was the same for me, the Kenny Omega Pack match in at Dynamite. Where Omega won 2-1. Like, It was really good, but you know, it doesn't stand out as one of the greats. All right, that is our draft. Top three Iron Man matches. Benny's got Triple H and The Rock at Judgment Day 2000, Lesnar and Angle on SmackDown 2003, Cena and Orton at Bragging Rights 2009. I've got Brett v. Shawn at WrestleMania 12, Bayley and Sasha Banks at NXT TakeOver, and MJF and Bryan Danielson. Yep. There you have it.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think. That is it for the show this week. We're going to take a little bit of a hiatus. We'll be back in 3 weeks to preview the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. We're going to have a WrestleMania-sized draft for you too. Don't worry about that. Benny, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, as always, Dylan. Enjoy, mate.
All the peeps out there, enjoy the road to WrestleMania. And we'll see you again next time on the 3 Count Podcast. 1, 2, 3!